Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
Hey, today we're starting a new series called Stand By Me, and it's a series that we're going to be doing all through the month of February about relationships and what does it mean and how can God heal our relationships with a closeness or from a closeness to God. Often a lot of what we experience in our life, the challenges, the difficulties, the seasons that we walk through, the difficulties that we experience are not because God has somehow plagued us or cursed us or because of our family or the school that we went to have, but often in our lives it's directly connected to the closeness, the proximity that we have to the Lord. It's great because you look at a space like this and a building like this, we've been existing as a church for a little over a year, about a year and a half, and I mean, we're day one and we would already be at what every church planting organization would tell you, you have to go to two services because of the capacity that we're at just right here in this room today. And so it's amazing to see what God does and how quickly God does things, but it comes from an understanding of what He wants to do through us. We understand God's love for us and we understand His passion for us and our life, then what we realize is that the closer I am to Him, the more I know Him. The closer I walk with Him, the more He walks with me, or the more I can see His presence walking and actively happening inside of our lives. And today, I just pray as we start this new series, as we start our first Sunday here on this campus, in case you're like, is this a church that only does acoustic worship? No, we're not. We have a full thing. Is this a church that likes dirty stages? No, we're not. This is a church that has bare concrete floors. Yes, we will be that church. We are going to be the church. We're going to float this. It's going to be amazing. But we're a church that believes that God has given us the ability to actively reach people. And what we mean by actively reaching people is not just sitting back and waiting for God to do something great. Sitting inside the four walls of a building like this and just hoping one day that maybe the Holy Spirit will kick open the back door and the train of His robe will fill the temple and we'll all be swept up in the glory cloud and revival will just open, like the ceilings will split open, the Shekinah power of God will fall. Look, the glory of God is already inside of you. So when you walk into a space and you begin to operate and act inside of that space, God is already there. Like, it's not a matter of like, oh, is He here? Like, this is, we said last Sunday, but this building is like a well-worn pair of pants. Because everybody has their favorite sweatpants that make that like your husband or your wife is ready for you to throw out. Like, they've been hanging on to it. It's like their football equipment pants from college. But they're like 55, like they smell weird. They're falling apart, like elastics completely blown out of just everywhere. It's just bad, right? This building is that. This you're sitting around, this building here was built in 1973, this original part. And look, we're not walking into a new space and a created space where like we poured a slab, we hung a cheap metal building, and we said, okay, we're gonna see God move mightily in this place. Man, people invested time and money and resources and they gave to this location, beautiful, and to this building, and they built this spot. And it's amazing to see what God has done in this room. I mean, it's a beautiful facility. It's a beautiful place. I'm just going to put a brief pause. This is Mr. Wiley Murray. Wiley, could you raise your hand? Wiley is the facilities director. Wiley's the facilities director for Cokesbury, and he's walked us through this process. But Brandon and Lexi got married in here, and so it's amazing. It's amazing to see what God has done. It's amazing to see what God has, like, think of the prayers that have been prayed in this room. Like, think of the lives that have been impacted in this place. Think of the people who have come to the altar and they've knelt and they've worshiped and God has moved in their heart and their life. Think of the kids that filled up these rooms and they filled up these walls. And really, like, when we knew that God placed in our heart to call this church Legacy House, I didn't know it involved this place. I met with Pastor Wolf 16 months ago and asked him about leasing this room. And we weren't able to do it at the time. We came back about 8 months later, weren't able to do it at that time. And we knew that our lease was coming up at MB Cook, and actually it was Brandon Sellers, and he said we were praying about some different spots. We told some people, just be praying. We're looking for a place. It's hard to find a good spot to have church in Pensacola. He said, I think we should call Cokesbury again. I was like, they told us no twice. Keeps telling, they're not going to tell us yes the third time. And he's like, I can't get past it. The Holy Spirit keeps telling me we should call Cokesbury again. So I called Pastor Wolf on a wing and a prayer, and I was just like, hey, probably going to be no again, but we're still looking for a spot that we can kind of call our own, and we'll treat it like our own, and we'll invest our own money, and we're not going to ask for much other than just a space. And Mr. Wiley and Pastor Wolf and that team over there, their board of trustees, has been gracious through this process. They've worked with us to expedite a lot of this. They let us get to work before even all the final contract stuff was done. And it's just been amazing to see. And I believe that we have a responsibility, like a legitimate responsibility, to carry on the legacy of the people who've walked through the four doors of this building, set inside the four walls of this building. We have a responsibility. There's prayers that have already been prayed in this place. We're not walking into it as the young guns who are going to make something great out of something insignificant. We're walking into a room. This room has seen it before. But we have the opportunity as a church to bring fresh life back onto the campus. I don't know the last time probably this building was this full. And we've got babies over there in rooms, and we've got kids in rooms, and I'm going to just challenge you today as your pastor. We've done all of this. We're on a limited budget, and we have limited resources as a church. But we've done all of this, and at the end, we're able to get to work immediately because we've been a good steward with the resources that God has given us. And at the end of this service, I'm going to really give you an opportunity, and I know you can feel however you want to feel about it, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to sow into this building and what God is doing. Because honestly, and I'm not, this is no pressure, one of you might cut a check today, and God bless you if you do. But we're about $30,000 away from all the renovation and work that needs to be done completely on this campus to get it exactly how we want. That's the real number. It's a big number. It's a scary number. I don't know where it's going to come from. But today I believe that God can move. I just believe God can move. And we want to make this perfect for you and your family and your kids. But today my message is simply called this. It's called a wing and a prayer. A wing and a prayer. Psalms 23, and I'm going to read this for you. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. My God, like if we could just sit on, if we could just rest on that. God, it's ridiculous. That's it. It's the whole message of the gospel. Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. I have all I need. Golly, it's good. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me by peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. He says, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for just this space. God, we thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you that on day one, God, we've got people from the front to the back who are ready to hear and ready to receive, God, what you're doing. God, we love you and we give you praise today. Lord, we pray that your anointing, God, would just continue to saturate this place. Lord, I pray that you would do a new thing, God, in an existing place. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name pray, amen and amen. So as we start this series called Stand By Me, we're going to talk a little bit today through Psalms 23 and then out of John 14, what we see what happens when we draw close to the Lord. I've got a few points that I'm going to give you. I'd love for you to have something, a phone, a piece of paper that you can write some of these things down with today. But I want to give you some points, some things I take away from Psalms 23 in regards to our relationship with the Lord, in regards to our closeness with God, and what happens when I get close to Him. I love that very first verse, verse number one. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That is the greatest, like from David as the psalmist, that is the greatest, like that's not it. It's like when Jesus said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's it. So what else do we need to say? Like, that's it. Like, the psalmist, he wrote all of these different psalms, and he wrote all these different moments and all these different things. And he says, look, hey, Lord is my shepherd. He leads me, and he's guiding me. I've got everything I need. I've got every single thing that I need. I believe that when we begin to look at this idea of standing by God and God standing by us, we learn the fact that when I'm with him, I have everything that I need. Really, what David is saying here to me, this first thing that I see, this first point you could write down that I feel like David is saying, is that he's content with his creation. He's content with his creation, meaning that internally, David is okay with himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I am content with how God has created me, what God has given me, and what God is doing through me. Like, there is something to be said for contentment. We live in a culture and in a society where it tells us and it constantly pushes at us that what we need is more. You need the newest phone, you need the newest car, you need the newest relationship, you need the newest clothes, you need the newest job, you need the next promotion. You need the thing that you don't have. What you have is not good enough. That's what we live in. That's what the world tells us. Companies spend billions of dollars a year marketing and took that idea to us that what you have is good, but not good enough. David took a totally different spin on it. He said, look, what I have is good, and it's all that I need. He was constant, and he was confident in his own creation. God has made me who I am, and I'm good with being me. Look, today, the best thing that you could do for yourself is begin to be confident in the creation that you are. The Bible says you have everything you need inside of you for life and for godliness. I believe as a church, what we do not need is we do not need just more random messages about 15 ways to prosperity, more just random pointless talks about like things that we can't actually apply to our lives. What we need is an understanding that God has called me. He's called me and he's called you to be the type of people who can understand the fact that you should be content in the way God has created you. So what? You could be taller. So what? You wish you were shorter. I remember one time I was in high school and I thought I was complimenting this girl's height, but I was like, wow, you're tall. I didn't realize that was a wound. She said, oh, great, I know I'm tall. I'll just squat, I walk on my knees everywhere. Like, look, geez. Touch to touchy spot, my bad, like, sorry. Who knows what you wish was different about yourself? And it doesn't mean that we don't grow, and it doesn't mean the Bible says we study to show ourselves approved, meaning that we learn and we strive after, we follow the Lord. But at the same time, there has to be a consistency and a contentment right where we are. Man, where are you today, and are you content being there? I guarantee you for 85 to 90% of the people in this room, the answer is no. No, I'm not content. I wish my marriage was different. I wish my job was different. I wish my pay was different. I wish my relationships were different. I wish I felt differently about myself. I'm not content. David says, look, you're my shepherd. I've got all I need. I'm content with who you've created me to be. I get it. I'm tired of church just like you are. If getting up early, getting your kids out the door, we have 2-year-olds, and as the pastors of the church, like, our kids are up here early and they're running around and they're screaming for us and they're trying to, I get it. I'm over church as well. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to just simply attend church. He died on the cross for us to operate and function as Christians. Christians gather in churches. Jesus, we are the church because we are people. We're not the church because we have a building. If it would have all fallen through and we'd have met around a tree today, we'd have been the church as much as we are inside of this building, outside of this building. We are containing the church inside of us. So look, hey, to you as a 27-year-old, as a 57-year-old, as a 77-year-old, wherever you might be inside of this room, it's time, especially if you're a part of the major generation, my generation, it's time to stop being cynical about church and cynical about what maybe church should do and could do and why it's always like, just simply be this thing. Because often we live and we talk from a place of our own discontentment in our life. We don't like church because we don't like ourselves. We don't like church because we're not happy where we are. But it's not about it's not about a level of happiness. It's about a level of contentment. Happiness is fleeting. We've already invested a lot of money as a church into the property to get it ready. And we've had a lot of great blessings, and it's been amazing. And people we've worked with have cut us deals. And we've invested a lot of money already as a church. And, you know, That's scary sometimes. But look, here's at the end of the day, is the Lord is my provider. God is my provider. He did not call me to operate from a place of fear and restriction. He called me and he called you to operate from a place of faith. That means that if I'm going, he's going with me. If he opens the door, then he's already prepared the place for me. Like, who knew decades ago when saints were praying inside of this building, what might have seemed like, oh, I didn't see that coming, God did. He knew that we would be here today. He knew that on the first Sunday in February in 2018, we would be sitting right here in this spot, seeing God move in power. Man, God is moving in this place. Let me give you the next thing. Next thing is this that David sees down there. He says, he lets me rest in green meadows and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strengths. It says he guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. The second thing I think David begins to see here is that David was strong enough to stand. It's one thing to be confident in who you are and content in who God has created you to be. Then you're going to have to learn how to muster the strength to stand. He says, look, the Lord renews my strength. What that tells me is that if I'm not allowing the Lord to renew my strength, then I will consistently and regularly be tired. I will live in a place of feeling like I don't have what it takes, I don't have what I need, I don't have all these different things that I must possess. I'll always live in a spot where it feels like I don't have enough. No, like, there's a verse in the Bible that says, take a new grip with your tired hands. Sometimes in life, you've got to learn how to let the Holy Spirit begin to renew the strength of your life. Where you can re-grip this thing and say, you know what, God, I am not going to just take strength. I'm not going to just have heart. I'm not going to be curled up in the fetal position in the corner saying, God, I believe. Like, I'm going to stand on my own two feet and believe that you're moving and you're operating inside of this place. The next thing is he will guide me and he'll lead me along right past, bringing honor to his name. I think the third thing is that we have to be sensitive to the signs. In our relationships and the people that God has called us to be around and the places God has called us to go, we've got to be sensitive to the signs, because either God wants to lead us and he wants to guide us. And as sheep, we have the choice and the option to either follow or stray. And in our culture, in our world, in a very A-type personality culture, no one really wants to be the sheep. Everybody wants to be the shepherd. But for us to be the people God has called us to be and for us to move the way God has called us to move, then what we have to understand is my role is not to be the shepherd. My role is to be the sheep. It says that he will lead me and he will guide me. But to follow his leading and guiding, I have to be sensitive to the signs. To follow his leading and his guiding, I have to be sensitive to what God is saying and what God is doing and when God is speaking. If we're not spending time with God, how can we hear from him? No wonder God's not speaking in our life. We're not making time for him to speak in our life. No wonder our life feels void even of his presence. It's not because his presence isn't real or it's not active or it's not wanting to invade our life. It's that maybe he's just leading us and he's guiding us, but we're not sensitive to what he's wanting to do. And it really is, as we go through this series this whole month, and like we said, next week and in the weeks to come, it'll look dramatically different week after week after week. But in every moment, in every season, God is with you. He's with you. And for us to understand who God has called us to be, it's somehow got to transition. It's somehow got to get beyond the point of just thinking about it and hoping for it and actually being this thing. Look, I know you're tired of church. I know you're tired of the game. I know you're tired of the ritual. I know you're tired of the routine. Guess what? There's a great way to break all of it. It's to actually have a relationship. It's to actually get to the point where you love God and you want to spend time with God and you want to pray and you want to hear his voice and you fast and you read your word. It's because he has something he wants to say, but he's a shepherd. He's not a slave driver. He's a shepherd. He's not one who's going to force us, who's going to kick us, who's going to pull us into his will. He's going to make the path straight. He's going to be the lamp to our feet. And as we go, he's going to provide the path and place for us to follow along after him. And David is saying this in the scripture. In verse 4 says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because you are close behind me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because you're close behind me. Look, before you can ever be close to them, you're going to have to be close to him. Before you're ever going to be close to them, you're going to have to be close to them. Every single one of the relationships in your life will be dysfunctional as long as you're no closer to them than you are the Lord. Every one of your relationships in your life will be dysfunctional as long as you're closer to them than you are to God. He says, look, even though I walk through the darkest valley, look, he says, even when it hits the fan, like we this morning, we had a lift in here, a scissor lift in here that we charged all night long, would not move. So literally about 9:15, there was still a, I don't even know, couple thousand pound lift sitting right here. We could not move. One guy had a floor jack in the back of his truck. These guys like released the hydraulics on it, floor jacked that gigantic scissor lift and pushed it. They had to make this turn. I don't know how that happened. They made this turn, went all the way down that center aisle, out the front doors and around the side of the building. But why? Because you know what? Like at the end of the day, like the enemy's going to try to do whatever he can do to distract. He's going to try to do whatever he can to get in our path, even in our darkest valleys. And often our darkest valleys are that small and insignificant. God, where are you? There's a lift in the room. Who cares? He's right here. Like if that's our biggest issue, then we're going to be okay. Like if that's the biggest thing we face, then we're going to be all right. But in our moments of weakness, because we haven't allowed our strength to be renewed, like David said, we're approaching our issues and our difficulties with no strength. We're walking in depleted and empty and just everything. Oh, I don't know. God, of course there's a lift in the room. Like, you know, like everything becomes that. Like every bad moment, every valley, every dark season becomes, oh, yeah, of course. That's my luck. It's just how my life is. It's just a dark season to dark season. Like David said, even though I walk through the darkest place, I'm not afraid because I know you're with me. We've got to be closer to him than we are them. Look, if the people that you're in relationship with, look, if you're not married right now, and if you as a couple are setting the boundaries physically for your relationship, rather than allowing the word of God to physically set the boundaries for your relationship, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. If you're married in here and you're not allowing the word of God to set the boundaries for your relationship and you're setting them inside of yourself, you're, as a husband, if you're not leading the house, if you're not raising up your kids in the house of the Lord, I've known a lot of people, especially me and Pastor Bethany spent 10 years in youth ministry, and I knew a lot of parents who punished their kids by not letting them come to church. When they did something wrong, they wouldn't let them come to church. Like that is crazy. Like that is the worst way to punish a child ever. Oh, I'm going to take God away from you. Maybe he's a hellion because like you don't bring him to church enough as it is. Like maybe that's it. Like apparently your divine home environment isn't creating a great child. And so, sorry, that's pretty heavy. But like I'm a kid. I'm a dad now. I can say that. I'm not like, but the youth pastor is like, he doesn't have kids. What's he talking about? Got two of them and they're not saved yet, but you know, pray for them. They're not saved. Some of you are like, wait, theologically though, like if they die, no, it's I'm not going to go down that road. No, but seriously, that's they're cute. God doesn't send cute people to hell, right? Anyways, sorry. So I got really, really touching here. But that's the way that we live. It's the reality of how we live. Honestly, it's how we live. Is that our valleys are overblown. Our valleys are overblown as well as our mountains. We lie to ourselves on both ends. We tell ourselves we're better than we are, and we tell ourselves that we're worse than we are. This situation is too big for me. I can't do it. It's going to kill me. Yet you're still breathing. Yet your eyes opened up this morning, you got out of bed, and you got to the house of the Lord. You're here. But at the same time, when we find ourselves in the midst of compromise, we can begin to tell ourselves that our compromise isn't as bad as we think it is. But you don't understand me. It's an addict's response. I quit when I want to. No. I know there's some compromise, but I could give this all up if I needed to. Then do it. But it's not ready yet. Well, when we don't understand that God is walking with us, I love the fact, like, can you take, okay. What David is saying here is that, like, we think somehow that God is separated from us in dark moments. We think that in dark, like, God is not in darkness. Like, when we're in that valley, we're in that valley alone. That's a lie. He says that even when you walk through the darkest valley, he is close beside you. He's walking hand in hand with you. He says, look, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. Look, I think for all of us today, as we walk in closeness with God, we have to understand the fact that correction should be a comfort. Correction should be a comfort. Like in all of these things, David said, hey, you strengthen me, you renew my strength. I'm going to walk through some dark times, but you're going to be close with me. You're going to be here every single step of the way. And then he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That makes no sense. Like none of you as children probably applauded when your parents said you were getting a spanking. Like when you were going to get spanked, you're like, woo! Like you're like, go ahead and pull your pants down. Like you're like, like you go to like your switch reserve that you have in your room. You're like, look, I've got some premium switches. This is an 83 Oak. This right here, it's full bodied. It's real. It's great. They're like, you're going to love this one. Like none of you do that. You didn't, like no one typically in our nature just loves correction. Like, oh my, yes, God, please tell me what I'm doing wrong today. Like that's never any of our prayers. We wake up and like, Lord, my kids are killing me. Like that's our prayers. It's God, I just don't know. I don't know. God, I don't know. Like, that's how my prayers this last week have, you want to know exactly how my prayers have been? That has been the totality of my prayers for the last, God, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Like, that has been my prayer time. Like, to pull back the veil, I've prayed the most uneloquent prayers the last 9 days. Where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, And I stay stuck in that spot. I've never one of these days woken up and said, God, you know what? If there's anything that could go wrong in the building today, Lord, let it go wrong so we can get it corrected. Like, I haven't done that. But the reality is, maybe that's the prayer I should pray. Like, just pause with me there. I know it's a weird theological thought, but just hang with me there for one moment. Maybe the prayer is, God, reveal to me what's wrong so I can fix it. Maybe the prayer isn't, Lord, keep the Band-Aid on this thing long enough so that it doesn't fall apart. Maybe the prayer is, Lord, expose to me the areas in my life that need to change. Because this is what David's saying, right? He says, look, he says, your rod and your staff, they protect and they comfort me. Correction has to be a comfort for us. Because when God corrects us, it shows us that he loves us. When God corrects us, it shows us that he's walking with us step by step. Every good parent understands the necessity and the need for correction. I saw a Washington Post article recently, and they were talking about the downfall of the cool parent. The parent who, you know, would let their kids drink, different things like that, and how in that child's life, as they grow, mature, and develop as an adult, it actually winds up backfiring in their life. What seemed like leniency and what seemed like a cool connection we have, you're not supposed to, like, my role in my girl's life is not to be their best buddy. I love them, and I will be a friend to them, but my role is not to be their best friend. My role is to be their father. And as their father, sometimes I have to correct them. Sometimes I have to give them a pow, and I have to put them in the timeout, and that's fine. And then Elm will try to go into timeout and give Harbor another pow just for being there. Like, she's like, you know what? He didn't do that good enough, so she'll march in there. She'll say, pow, sissy, and she'll try to get, I'm like, look, calm down, all right? Like, you need to get saved. But David said, look, your comfort it comforts me. When someone comes to you in your life and says, hey man, I see some things that should probably change. Instead of us looking for the greatest defense, trying to find the loophole in the law and say, well, it's not like that for me. It's different. I understand. I'm seasoned. Some people say I can handle that. Like, can we just put a pause in it and talk about convictions for just a second? Some people say that, well, you know, I'm a more seasoned Christian, so I can handle that now. No, you are created as a spiritual being. The living spirit of God is inside of you. And there's some things that just no matter who you are, how long you've been saved, how short of a time you've been saved, there are some things inside of your life that just simply grieve the Holy Spirit. And I believe for us today, what God is calling us to do is he's calling us not just to sit back on our haunches and just wait and hope and pray and just think that maybe one day God will move, but it's to be active inside of this thing. Let me give you this next thing. It says, you prepare for feast for me, feast for me in the presence of my enemies, and you will honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of your life. Your love is pursuing me, and I will live forever in the house of the Lord. I love the fact that after all these things, and we can't get into it for the sake of time, but in verse in verse 5 there where it says that you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That is a sick verse. Like, if you think about that for a minute, it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. A banquet table set before those who hate you. A banquet table set before those who have it out for you. A banquet table set before those that tried to kill you and keep you and stop you and hold you back and discredit and devalue you. Look, he prepared the place for me in the presence of my enemies. And then it says that he anointed my head with oil. So really what that verse is saying there is, in the midst of all of those who said you couldn't, in the midst of all of those who said you would never make it, if this was the end, surely you must just die. Like, remember Job, the story of Job where he lost everything, and then his wife just says, why don't you just curse God and die? Like, that's how we've lived a lot of times in our life. When bad things begin to happen, it's just like, God, where are you? I guess I'm just going to die. No, he's created you for more than this. There is a table that has been made for you. There is a place that has been made for you. There is a work that has already been done where your head now is anointed with oil. You were made for more than just where you are right now. I can promise you this. And you're like, oh, how do you know? You don't know me. You don't know my life. No, I do know your life. Because all of our lives as Christians and all of our lives as believers should be marked with the people who are coming after us, whose lives are being changed because of what God is doing in us. Look, if I can look around my life and I don't see anybody else's life getting changed, then I'm not doing this thing right. And like, well, yeah, of course for you, you're a pastor. No, that's for all of us as Christians. That's for all of us as believers. Who can I look at in my life and say, God, they're different because of me. They're different because of me. Like, they're changed because of me. I'm not here just to skate along and hope someone recognizes my anointing. I'm here to say, God, who have you called me to minister to? You know how we're going to bring life back? It's not this building. It's by bringing people to this building. That's how we're going to bring life back to it. And it's not because we're going to bring them to show them off a space. I promise you, this is going to be the best church facility in all this town when I'm done with it. Just let me know. But I'm telling you this. But look, that's not why we're bringing them here. We're bringing them here because we believe the tangible living presence of God is operating inside of these people who gather in this room. You understand the way that I said that, right? We didn't say the tangible living presence of God isn't inhabiting this room. It's inhabiting the people in this room. Look, hey, it's easy to set up shrines inside of buildings to what was, what could have been, what we tried to do. I'm not in the business of setting up a shrine. I'm not in the business of building a slick stage for building a slick stage. I'm not in the business of doing all these things that we're doing just for the heck of it. We're doing this because God has given us people. Look, let me ask you this. Do you know somebody right now who needs the Lord? Then our mission's not done. It's the same thing where David said, look, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. As long as we can say, as long as we can answer that question is, we have people in our lives who need the Lord. Our mission's not done. We don't have the comfort of hitting the coast button. We don't have the comfort of just taking our foot off the gas and saying, God, I want a fruitful and a prosperous life. I just want to be happy. The purpose of the cross was not to make us happy. The purpose of the cross was to give us relationship. It was to give us forgiveness and repentance of our sin. It was to cover us. It was to atone us for our sin. So that we could leave the guilt and the shame behind. So that we could understand that God, the veil was torn when Jesus died on the cross. It's because the distance that once separated us is now no longer there. He's standing with me and I'm with him. Shoulder to shoulder, closer than a brother. He walks right with me. But that means for all of us that we've got to get some skin in the game. Please, and Matt can come. We're going to close here in just a minute. But look, please. Me and Pastor Bethany, we like to really operate from a spirit of excellence. If you don't know that about us, we like everything to be excellent. Why? Because excellence honors the Lord. Excellence honors the Lord. That's what it does. There's a piano under there. He's like, for my next trick, like, you know what I mean? We're actually going to saw Matt in half, and no, it's fine. You know, and the reality is that in spaces like this, when stuff's not right, and there's feet print on the ground, and floor's not done, and lights are in progress, and fabric's not hung, and floors aren't ready for the kids, and bushes still need to be trimmed. You go stand behind, like the greatest hiding spot in Pensacola is behind those bushes out front. We could probably fit half the church right now in those bushes. That's what we need to do with our greeters, like surprise greeters. So like, hello. This church is creepy. Like, I don't like these guys. I don't like these guys. But it's hard when it's not right. But we're only at this spot. This stage looked totally different. We built this stage out. Like, there was a big, like, lip here. Like, this came, the stage came all the way back to here. This was at this lowest height down here, all the way back to here. And some amazing men of God stepped up and they built this thing and we cut this deck and got it ready and it's not done, bud. We were only able to accomplish what we accomplished because we had people who were willing to invest their time. Look, we're not a church where 10% does 100% of the work. That's not us. It will never be us, and we'll fight every day to prevent it from being us. We're also not the same. We're not a church where 10% of the people give 100% of the resources. We're a church that believes that every single one of us have a gift that God has placed inside of us. And we say at Legacy House all the time, God has called us to be generous in three areas: with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. With our time, our talent, and our treasure. I'm going to read this to you out of John chapter 14. We're going to close. And at the end of this, I want to pray for you. And then we're going to take up an offering to, and I know there was no lead time and there's no, you know, big campaigns and no whatever. But I'm going to give you the opportunity today to sow into what God is doing here. I think we would have loved to have it all buttoned up and it looking spotless, but I think really the building, the property, all is a representation even of where we are as the church right now. We're in progress. We're in progress. And the more that we have behind what we're doing, the better and the quicker we can do it. We would have not been able to accomplish nearly the amount that we accomplished this 9 days if people wouldn't have tirelessly sacrificed their time to come up here and to serve. There's people who had never really served at all in Legacy House, who they found their spot these last 9 days, because all of a sudden there's now a space for me and there's a space for what I'm good at. I'm not good at maybe greeting people in the lobby, but I know how to swing a hammer and I will swing that hammer all day long. The same thing is true. It's like, we can't just walk in and be like, wow, round of applause, man, Pastor Curtis and Bethany, aren't they sweet? Damn, they're doing a great job. Like, man, this is really great of them. No, this isn't great of us. This is about all of us. This isn't my thing. This isn't her thing. This is our thing. Like, this facility, this building, we have a responsibility, not just a contractual responsibility. That's not what we're talking about here. We have a spiritual responsibility to see the prayers of the saints that have been prayed in this room come to pass. But it's only going to happen, honestly, it's only going to happen if all of us can sacrificially say, God, what is it that you want me to do? God, if you put it, I love the story of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah said that he had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. Where he says, look, he didn't just say, I can't do this, I'll do that. He said, I'll use everything that I've got. I'm skilled with a weapon and I'm skilled with a tool, and I will do both things to see the kingdom of God advance. Look, I know I said it a minute ago, and I'm just being honest with you. It's about $30,000 to finish out the rest of this facility, and God might lay it on somebody's heart to give that whole amount today. That would be great. That'd be fantastic. Just watch and see what happens. But the reality is this, is that in the end of the day, no matter what, God is our provider. And the thing that we have to do inside of all of our lives and inside of all of our relationships, instead of looking at everybody and everything around us and saying, God, you know what, they'll handle it, they got it, they'll take care of the resources, they'll look at them, they look like they got money, I don't look like I got. No, the Bible isn't about how much money is in our bank account. It's not about dump it all out and empty it for the kingdom of God. It's about being willing to simply say, God, what is it that you want me to give? God, where can I give my time? Lord, where can I give my gift? Lord, where can I sow this seed? Because I believe that as we sow our seed and as we sow our time and as we sow our gifts, man, God can multiply what he wants to do in this house. We said it all the time. We'll say it again. Continue to say it. Say it till whatever. I don't even know. We're not building for literally anyone sitting inside of this room. We're building for the little people who are in the building next door. This whole thing is about legacy. We don't build today for the comfort of ourselves. We build today for the hope of those who will come after us. as we sow seed, like the first building that we attacked was that building over there. If we would have come in here first, we could have had our lights right. We could have had our projector up. We could have done that. Why? But the reality was, is that we needed a space for our kids. Why? Because that is the legacy that will come behind us. And it's not because I got two babies, because this church is chock full of babies and y'all keep popping out babies and somebody needs to slow down. We're going to have to like teach a class. I don't know what's going on. A lot of people having babies here. Like, okay. So we are seeing God move on this side. This was priority one. It always has been, and it always will be. Why? Because the heart. See what you see in Psalm 23. You see in John chapter 14, where Jesus says this. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me." He said, "Hey man, remember David, the man after my own heart? Yes, the man who committed adultery and then killed the husband of the one who he committed adultery with. He was still a man after God's own heart. He was still a man who God said, 'I love that guy.'" I love that. That's my guy. That guy's my guy right there. He references back to Psalm 23. This is what Jesus is doing here. Like, you have to go with this. It's the harmony of the whole scripture here. And he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust also in God and trust in me." And he's saying trust in God because he's saying God is in control of this thing. God's in control of this thing. Like, it's not our responsibility to be in control. It's God's responsibility. He says, "Trust also in me," because he says, look, God is in the unseen. He's in the unseen areas of this world. But he says, trust in me, because he was standing right in front of them. This is Jesus talking directly to the disciples, looking them in the eye. And he says, God is in the unseen doing the things that we can't see. But I'm here right now and I'm actively moving. God is actively moving in our lives. And today, we don't just need to think about God as some big man upstairs somewhere pulling the levers of our life, but he's active in you today. He's active in the people around you today. That's why it's important not that you just come and sit and receive, but it's important that you learn the names of the people around you. Who is sitting by you today? Do they have somebody to go to lunch with them? Do they not? It's funny, but it's true. Because it's funny, because we kind of laugh, like, and not that if you laugh, you're like, "Oh gosh, I feel bad, I should never laugh." But the reality is like, that sounds like the good church. We laugh because it's the good church phrase. Like, "Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know." But it's not about asking ourselves the question. It's about acting upon what we know. Like, "Yeah, I wonder if they do. I don't know. See them next week." Like, but that's what we do. That's how we live our lives. And that's why churches are dying. You know how many churches in this city are filled right now? Filled with 10 people. The desire of the Holy Spirit is to breathe life back into them again. Because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The power he moved in the Old Testament and in the New, he can operate in that power today. What he once did in those buildings, he can do again. And God's moving in this place. So I'm gonna read this to you again here. It says, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you can always be with me where I am. And you don't know where I'm going." And Thomas said, "No, Lord, we don't know. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know your ways?" And Jesus told him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus says, "Hey, look, I'm preparing a place for you." God has prepared for us a church, a place. He was preparing this place for us. And he's preparing other places for us. You know what I love about the vision of Legacy House? Is it doesn't end right here. We didn't make it. Like, this isn't a high five, like, "Whoo, we made it, we got a building. We did it," right? So like, we're just a church now. Like, we just settle in, sit back, and just be a church. No. This is building one of many buildings. This is city one of many cities. This is just the beginning of what God is going to do. This is just the spear, like the tip of the spear for what God wants to do. But for all of us today, we'll never get there if it's just me and Pastor Bethany. We'll never get there if it's just those who are serving this week. It's gonna have to be a collective effort, shoulder to shoulder, that says, "God, I know that you wanna stand by me. I know that you're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. You believe in me. You know me better than I know myself." I'm going to close. This is only the beginning. And to say that it's only the beginning is even still an understatement. I believe what God is going to do here is going to be carried around the nation. There was a social media guy, and it's not a big deal. It was just interesting. There's a social media guy. He runs a couple big social companies for Christian churches and platforms. And he said he featured seven different churches the other day on his social media platform. And it's all of these major churches, C3 Brooklyn, Fresh Life with Levi Lusco, all of these gigantic churches that have thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And there on the list at number four is Legacy House. And I'm like, he doesn't know us. You don't know me. But here's what I know. I know that God is already shining a light on what's happening inside of this house. I don't know. This guy lives in Ontario. But God is moving, and he wants to move even more. I want to pray for us today as we just seal our time together. And we've got a lot of work in front of us, but we're just beginning. And God is going to walk with us, and he's going to guide us, and he's going to lead us every single step of the way. Today, I hope that what you're taking away from this time is the simple fact that God, he's already prepared the place for you. In your darkest, deepest, most hellish moments of your life, he's with you. He wants to walk with you. As we draw closer to him over these next few weeks, we'll begin to see him move in ways that we've never experienced in our life. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to take up an offering. And I know that it can seem natural. It can seem like a natural act, but it's a supernatural seed that we're going to sow. My prayer for you is this, and we're going to pray, and Pastor Bethany is going to come up here with me, and we're going to pray together for the offering here in a minute. But my prayer for you is this. There's ways you can give. You can do cash, you can do check, you can do with the text to give thing. But I've often asked the Lord, why, God, did you bring us back to Pensacola? It's pretty much a weekly question. Just being honest. But it's for reasons just like this. It's that we've always believed, I've always believed, that there's buildings sitting like this all around town that just needed somebody with a little bit of vision and a little bit of life, surrounded by some people with the exact same thing, to breathe some life back into this. Church doesn't have to be the way that it always has been. If you're tired of it, great, welcome home. We are too. We're just ready to simply be the people God has called us to be. Actually live this life. Actually love God and serve him and worship him. But I want us to pray, and the ushers are gonna come, and we'll pass the buckets here in just a moment. And as the buckets go back, then Matt will just continue to play. And once they get to the back, then we'll just close in prayer again. And I've got a few instructions for you, but would you mind coming with me and we're gonna pray together? Would you just, even if you're sitting right there in your seat, you want to stand up because then you need to sit back down. Would you just maybe take the hand of the person next to you? You might know them, you might not. We're gonna just pray. And then after we pray, if the ushers with the buckets, if you guys can go ahead and make your way to the front here, and then after we pray and say amen, you can just grab a seat as those buckets go by, and then once they get to the back, we'll give you some closing instructions for today. But there will never be another first day. These are special. There's seed that's sown on days like this. There's progress that happens on days. Whoever missed it today, they missed it. But the reality is that God is doing something great in here. I did not expect that it's amazing.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.